everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Words About Biology. I've decided this week I'm going to do part one of a two-part podcast. This week I'm going to give you kind of the what is it, how does it work, and then the next episode I'm going to talk about how are we applying it and what cool stuff are we doing with the technique. Now I will tell you that the second episode may be a bit delayed. I'm traveling in the next couple weeks for my brother's wedding. Yay! So I won't have time to put together the podcast on the regular schedule. Not that there really is a regular schedule, but you know what I mean. There's going to be a longer break between this episode and the next episode. So what is this topic that I think deserves two episodes, you may ask? I'm going to be talking about CRISPR. I suspect most of you have heard of CRISPR or the CRISPR-Cas9 system, but I also suspect that many of you don't know exactly how it works or what scientists are doing with it. CRISPR has been kind of the hotness in biological research for the past couple years since its introduction for its ability to easily knock out or edit genes. And this episode, I'm going to go through how that works. So first off, what does CRISPR actually mean? So CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. So essentially, they are groups of repeats in the DNA that are found throughout the genome. So they were first identified in the 1980s when scientists were studying the genomes of archaea and bacteria. So they saw these repeats and they assumed they had a unique purpose, with the prevailing theory being that they had a role in viral defense. And this theory was actually proven true in 2007 by a scientist named Felipe Horvath. So DNA repeats, not too exciting, but it is through this system and through studying how it works and what it does that scientists have been able to incorporate its abilities into gene splicing, gene editing, etc. So first, we're going to go through how CRISPRs work in the genomes and how they work to protect organisms. When an organism first encounters a virus, it doesn't know how to fight it, and it has to learn to adapt to create a strategy to fight this virus. And this is similar to what happens with most immune responses. Viruses act by attacking DNA directly, and because of this, it makes them vulnerable. So what CRISPRs do, along with Cas enzymes or CRISPR-associated enzymes, is steal key strands of DNA from the virus and store these sequences in between the clusters, the CRISPR clusters. And then when similar viruses attack again, they can be defeated easier. The Cas enzymes are essential to this process, and there are a number of them, and they have somewhat different functions, and we'll talk about a couple of them right now. So these enzymes are what copy the sequence from the attacking virus to be stored, and also what transcribe these stored sequences from the CRISPR, bind to the DNA of the virus, and slice it, or disrupt it, or disintegrate it, which shuts down the virus's function. Cas1 is what cuts, reads, and creates the spacer insert that goes into the CRISPR. Cas2 splices the transcribed CRISPR sequence into what we call crRNAs or CRISPR RNAs. And it's these CRISPR RNAs that Cas3 or Cas9 forms a complex with, and then goes and targets and inactivates the viral DNA using this matching sequence. I'll put up a diagram on the blog so you guys can get a visualization of how these different Cas enzymes are working with the CRISPR DNA and the viruses. So what scientists realized was that they could manipulate this mechanism for targeted gene editing. And specifically, they were interested in Cas9, which is one of the ones that targets the viral DNA and does the deactivation of it. Cas9 can be thought of kind of as a molecular assassin, so it goes in and it snips anything with the matching DNA sequence. So in order to use this for genetic manipulation, you have to design an RNA for what gene you want to cut. And this could be targeting a genetic defect, an undesirable trait. If it's for some sort of knockout study, you target the gene you wish to knock out or deactivate. And this can be done in the lab. So you design these guide RNAs. Then for the application, you would inject both this guide RNA and the Cas9 enzyme into the target cell. And within that cell, they're going to form the CRISPR-Cas9 complex. And this complex is what goes along the genome of whatever you've injected it into. And what the complex is looking for is called a PAM site, or a protospacer adjacent motif. And this is just a 2-6 base pair sequence, so a really short sequence of DNA. And this is where your Cas9 is going to attach. And by attaching here, it destabilizes the DNA adjacent to the attachment site, meaning that it unzips. So DNA is in your double helix, right? So imagine it unwinding and opening up so both single strands of DNA are accessible. And then the RNA guide checks for a match. And if it matches, it will cut your sequence right there. And if it doesn't match, it moves on to find the next PAM site to attach to and check for matches. So that's kind of the quick overview of the easy version, or the most simple way to use the CRISPR-Cas9 system, which is just to create your target RNA or your guide RNA and insert it into the cell with your Cas9 and find your sequence and cut your sequence. So this is strictly a deactivation procedure. There are other processes that are being used, or other applications of the CRISPR-Cas9 system. So instead of just cutting the DNA to deactivate it, we can also replace the DNA. And I'll talk more about how this is done next episode when I go through a couple of research articles using this technique. So when I mean replacing the DNA, it can be to repair a gene instead of knocking it out, or to change the function of the gene. There's a couple other Cas enzymes that are also of interest to scientists working with them. So there's Cas3, which works similarly to Cas9. It also functions to hold the target RNA and then chops up the DNA that matches its target. It's being used to develop targeted antibiotics, so specifically against bacterial sequences. And then there's also Cas13. And Cas13 is a little bit different because instead of looking through and binding to DNA to deactivate genes, it actually binds to RNA, so sequences that have already been transcribed from the DNA. And if you think about it, if we're cutting up or deactivating RNA, we are lowering the expression level of a gene and lowering the potential protein made from that DNA. So it's a way to play with expression levels. And the system that's being developed specifically with this Cas13 is called the Sherlock system, and they're using it to develop tests for viral infections. So that's where I'm going to stop for this episode. That's kind of the gist or the general overview of what CRISPRs are, what the CRISPR-Cas9 system is, and how it works within a cell. Next episode, I'm going to pick out probably 2-3 interesting, relevant, kind of the most cool applications of recent research that are using the CRISPR-Cas system, and we're going to talk about them and see how it's being used to benefit society and help forward science. With that, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a great week and a bit. As always, you can check out the blog for a little bit more information on this topic. It's wordsaboutbiology.wordpress.com. See you guys later.